fucking Xbox. Remember when I was talking about that? What a fucking mistake that was. God. Welcome to the Metal Gamers Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle McLemore, joined with Micah McGowan.
If you got an Xbox, take it out back and shoot it.
Sure. Bury it.
16 it's over. Feet down. Do itself a favor.
Didn't Josh say some shit about like burying a PlayStation 4 and then like a dead dog or something like that?
Jesus.
Yeah, that's weird shit. Anyways, go listen to those episodes.
They're great.
Welcome. It's the Metal Gamers Podcast. We're doing it. It's episode 210. So that means there are only 40 episodes left until Run to Rock 5. No, that's right.
No. Bring it. We're keeping it going. No.
I'm specifically keeping this shit rolling just to sneak up Run to Rock on these guys. It's going to be the funniest shit because they're not thinking about it right now. Like Joe, Mike, and Josh. Like, they're all just doing their own shit, you know? Life is what it is. Persona 5 was right, and life will change. So it's going to be a fun time. We're going to keep on rolling and doing some shit.
Just imagine them living their lives, and then they get a text from the two of us like, hey, we really need to meet you guys at Kyle's house, you know, plan to be there the whole night. And then we just spring Rum to Rock on them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Get ready. Yeah, we're just going to hang out. Don't worry about
it. Don't worry.
What are all these
crazy
glasses for? Yeah. Nothing. Why are the mics set up? Why is everything warm?
Why is Micah already drunk?
What's that bag? Oh, the mystery box has returned. Yeah, it's going to be some dumb shit. But anyways, I just want to say to everybody out there who thinks that I have resting bitch face, like, because usually I'm a pretty chill guy, and I get it. I kind of look like I'm upset. And it's because I am. I am a hater. And fuck all you people.
Damn! You were all right. You were all
like,
right.
I look, everyone's like, hey, you look pissed. It's like, because I am. Fuck you. Get out of my face. Yeah. Everyone, get out of my face. I'm just kidding. Hope everyone's having a good old fashioned metal gaming time out there. There's a lot of good stuff happening music wise and video game wise. Well, not so much good video game wise. There's good and bad news, actually. Like, we'll get to that when we get to it.
Yeah.
For right now, I want to talk about, of course, Coheed and Cambria dropped a new single. Double Terry Wayne was talking shit about it, and I just want to say, fuck you, Double Terry Wayne. But I get it. It's absolutely not everybody's cup of tea, and it's very much modern Coheed and Cambria. Like, they still got like the auto-tune sound, but man, they got some funky grooves. The bass and drums sound fucking awesome, and I'm having a great time. And I know that's barely metal, and now I'm going to go even further away from metal and talk about this Drake versus Kendrick Lamar beef.
Jesus Christ.
Which has been wildly entertaining, and thank you guys for being such assholes to each other, because it has made my week so much more fun than it would have been just like looking at the news or whatever. You know, so
yeah.
That was a nice little distraction, so thanks for that. And so far, no one's gotten hurt except for a security guard outside of Drake's house. So
they could be unrelated, right. Said the police officers.
Yeah, probably. Well, you know,
you never.
It is Atlanta, right?
Like, no, was that? Is that
to
not
be
Ontario?
Fair?
Was that not in Canada?
Oh, that's
where
right.
Lived?
No, yeah, he
I know he's from there
all the time. I'm sorry, yeah.
I know he's from there. I don't know if that's where that house is. I have no fucking clue. I
forgot he's Canadian.
All
Canadians are pissed.
I've
oh, did you
more.
See that? Like Kendrick's. Like, I'm not going to go into all this shit. If
Sounds
you want
like
to,
you are.
There's a couple other podcasts that have gone deep into it. Kinda Funny's done one. Castle Super Beast did one, which was also very, very good.
Okay.
And very
okay.
fun.
Yeah, I recommend.
And I'm all
Kinda
in
Funny's.
On it. I've never listened to a Drake song in my life.
Me neither.
At least not that
not
I
this
not
week.
That I know of. Yeah, not till this week. I listened to all the Kendrick ones first, and my God, like, I love his music. He's doing a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
And my God, it's like, this is some of the most heinous shit I've ever seen.
Yeah.
A person say to another person, and hey, they Kendrick Lamar actually lifted the copyright claims to these songs, so I'm going to throw one at the end. I'm not sure which one, but
no shit,
I like
you
all
did?
Of them. Yeah, he's like, hey, I'm like, no copyright on any of these songs. You guys have fun with it, you know? Because he wants that shit to spread like wildfire, and it is. It's number one song in Canada right now, which is where Drake is from. So, like,
wow.
Drake's entirely lost, which I think is great, because I think it's gone exactly how it should. It makes me proud to be a Kendrick Lamar
everything,
fan in a weird way.
What's funny is every time I've had Kendrick Lamar explained to me in terms of like how he is as an artist and like lyrically, I'm like, my first thought is like, man, Kyle should be listening to this guy.
Yeah, it finally happened after like the last couple years where I'm like, I've been listening to nothing but rock and metal and alternative weird experimental shit. Time to give hip-hop a shot, and there's so much so much out there is entertaining to listen to. I was like, oh my God, I'm missing out.
Yeah, so if you checked out some Kendrick Lamar, I think me and Mike have recommended Logic.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've listened to him too. J. Cole, Jid is like one of my favorites as well, if you want to listen to him. But anyways, back to this dissing shit. Like, I just don't know how Drake can't come back from this. Obviously, it's done. Like, I don't think he's put out another song. I don't think he's going to do anything. Basically, Kendrick came out and just called him a pedophile and a horrible person. Jesus hope that he Christ. Dies. You know, just all of this shit. And Drake basically just came back and said, nuh-uh. Like, no. Like, and everyone's like, okay, well, wow. Right, like, wow. The bop of the summer, Not Like Us, that's the big Kendrick Lamar one. I think the final one he put out after Meet the Grams, which was also a super dark, super heavy diss track. Holy shit. Not Like Us is basically the bop of the summer. And the bop of the summer, everyone's like dancing in the clubs and being like, yay, Drake touches kids. Like,
Jesus Christ, Kyle.
That's the whole fucking theme of the song. It's like, yep, that's what he does. Like,
prove meet it. Meet the Grams, dude. That was
everyone's
rough.
Having a great time. Just, like, that was very rough.
That was holy rough, shit. Dude.
It's wild.
Dude, when people were telling, like, I was listening to a podcast explain it.
And there's evidence, like, floating around on TikTok and stuff. Yeah. It's like, yeah, there he is. Touching a child.
Well, what got me
right there.
What got me was, like, as I was listening to a podcast talk about it, I was like, there's no way Kendrick Lamar put these lyrics in a song and put it out there, because I don't pay attention to that kind of shit. So when I pulled the song up, that's what got me to pull it up, and I listened to it and I was like, yeah, Jesus yeah. Christ. Like,
yeah. Yep. Like, and there's so much facts to back it up too.
Like, yeah, it's rough.
He doesn't really lie
rough.
About anything. It's rough. It's really wild.
It's rough. Yeah,
check that out. Aside from that, let's get into some video games.
Please.
Talk about the Coheed and Cambria single. Like, the single is the single. It sounds cool. The music video, they brought back a character known as Al the Killer, which is the quote-unquote Die White Girls character from the Inkeeping Secrets of Silent Earth 3, which... as a fan, like, that's some very interesting lore implication. Like, why is he around? What's going on? Like, is he still, like, in the story? Like, in this new shit that's happening? Vaxis or whatever? And that's cool. And then they re-recorded Deranged, which was the single that they put out for Arkham City.
I wonder if the copyright was up on that or something.
It was. There had to be some licensing thing, especially with WB. Can you imagine?
Oh, yeah.
Like, because they had that song up with, like, the Arkham City artwork and everything. And I remember trying to look it up not too long ago, and it wasn't there on Spotify. I'm like, well, fuck, I can't listen to the song anymore. And there was a bunch of, like, artist songs. Like, I think, like, Fall Out Boy and shit was on there, too. Like, it was a very big soundtrack.
Yeah, they must have stopped paying for the copyright for that album or play. Yeah.
So Coheed re-recorded it. And honestly, I didn't realize it was a re-recording until, like, near the end, because they did something slightly different. And I was like, holy shit, this is, like... Because I recall listening to it, I was like, this sounds really good. Like, the quality is really good. I figured it was, like, remastered or something, you know? Not re-recorded, but I was like, holy shit, these guys nailed it. Like, they never miss. Holy shit. It's wild.
That's cool. That's cool that they did that instead of just letting it lie dormant.
Yeah, and so now it's back and available, and it sounds better than ever, so that's very cool.
That's cool.
Anyways, let's talk about some video games.
Fuck yeah.
Me, you, your sister Mariah, and our friend Daniel have been playing nearly every Thursday Baldur's Gate 3. And last week, we forgot to talk about it, which is really silly in hindsight. But we completed that campaign. We managed to get to the I'm not going to spoil it, because there's still a lot of people. That we did it. We beat the game.
Yeah, we beat the game.
And I got to say, I am very surprised. There's very few times that me and a group of other people actually complete such a big task like that.
Yeah. Me and Mariah are pretty good about, like, doing things weekly because me and her had done a campaign together as well. So, like, you know, it was nice that the four of us kept staying on top of each other. And then, like, you know, things came up and that is what it is. But, like, man, we got through it. We beat that game. We had some grand fucking times, dude. Like, the laughs were boundless. Almost every session we were fucking in tears over something. Like,
so, okay, let's actually go over it. What are some of our favorite moments from this campaign that we've done. Let's try not to spoil it as much as we can, but there's going to be some stuff.
Well, we talked about some highlights, and I'll go with mine, and you can say yours. Mine was when all four of us were standing around discussing what we were going to do, which was to go through a door. And all three of us went through the door, and my sister just walked away from the door, and then... like 3 to 4 minutes later, she's like, "Where are you guys? What are y'all doing?" And we were like, "We went through the door." She's like, "What door?" And I was like, "What the fuck do you mean, what door? The one we all stood in front of and said what we were doing." Like, and I couldn't tell if she was role-playing her barbarian to perfection, to complete utter perfection, or if my sister just fucking wasn't paying attention. It was great. It was...
To be fair to everyone, while we're doing this, we're adults, we're drinking, we're having fun.
We're having a good time.
But it was hilarious to watch all of us walk through that door.
I mean, one at a time.
Like, she was right behind it. Right behind me. And I turn around and like, oh, she's gone. Maybe she went to go do something else. I don't know. And she's like, "Where'd you guys go?" Like, through the one door.
The only
room
door.
It's not the way we came in.
Yeah. It's so obvious.
Wild shit. And then, of course, one of my favorite moments was somehow, I don't know, I still don't really know how, but you, with your character Gravik, just dropped your entire inventory. And, you know, big CRPG.
All of it.
You know, you got a lot of shit on you, and you just dump it all out on the ground. And
I felt like my secrets had been spilled out amongst all
wasn't,
of you.
It didn't do what most video games do, where it's like, here's one sack, here's your things, quote unquote. It was every individual item was just all over the fucking ground. Honestly, like, and it was like... spread out and separated and organized like the most beautiful pattern I had ever seen, which was kind of fun in itself. Like, it looked like a beautiful architecture, but you were like, well, you can't just pick it all up because it's not all together.
Yeah.
So now you gotta go and pick up every individual item.
It was horrible. It took me like 5 minutes to get it all. It was so bad. And I think I lost some of it because I was like in an like in a bad spot, so like things just like fell off part of a cliff, and I was like, "What the
fuck?" Honestly, what made it so much better is that you were giving Mariah so much shit about the door for like weeks, and then finally your comeuppance was just great. I was like, "Oh,
dude,
my God!"
And let's be honest, we all had some good goofs and guffaws. Daniel as Felfez might have been. He might have been the MVP.
Daniel played a dark gnome with a
rogue
lady
tendencies.
Figure and a male genitalia.
Dude, which we
and
didn't discover until Act 3 when he had a statue made.
That was a fun character. He had a statue made of himself, which you can make nude. And he was slinging dong. What can
in
I say? Selfless was packing.
So, like, we all get to camp, and there's a statue of this character we've been playing with for months at this point. And we were like, okay. And Daniel just goes, I didn't know they were going to include that part in the statue.
Yeah.
And then we became a nudist camp I did, and then I started putting... Okay, another thing that was really great was this, like, somewhat party abuse of Gravik. Like, we would always, like, just make jokes and, like, put Gravik down, beat him down, whatever we could. And I eventually role-played that into, like, the very end of the game, which I thought was really fun. Like, I just...
Yeah.
By the end there, like, I kept having Gravik go through, like, hair changes as if he was having, like... midlife crisis problems because he kept getting abused in the party.
Gravik definitely went through the mental ringer in this game where I feel like me and the rest of the party would bully him into making bad decisions on top of him just making bad decisions on his own. And by the end of it, he was an entirely different person.
Yeah. It was incredible.
Let's just say that.
Yeah, that's the best way to put that.
I played as a bard warlock, which was very fun, a half elf named Glordhill. And as a bard, you can just play music. And every opportunity I got to play music with the different instruments in the game, I did. And it was super fun. And it adds an entirely different element to the game, which is a literal in-game musician.
You didn't break encounters, but you literally changed the entire dynamics of how fights could happen. Because you could just start playing music and gather people together.
I will spoil this, at the beginning of the game, like, we probably talked about it before, actually. I don't remember. But at the goblin camp, like, I had Lord Hell perform in the middle of it, and all the goblins came and were, like, dancing around and being like, yeah. Oh, shit, let's check out this guy. And they were all, like, listening to me play music, and then Daniel as Felfiz went and poisoned their grog and their beer or whatever. And then, like, they all went up and started drinking it and getting poisoned and all that shit. I'm like, oh, we never would have thought to do that on my own, let alone as in a co-op party. But
you got to do that as well in the Githyanki Crush. You got we were in that one fight, you gathered them all up, and we were able to just AoE the fuck out of them.
It's so funny, it's like I can just, like, get everybody together in a group, be like, hey, check out this shit right here. Like, everyone loves my music, which I appreciate. That's very nice of them. Finally, a real fantasy fulfilled.
Man, it was a lot of fun. Like, I'm really hoping, like, once we go through the next thing we talk about, I'm hoping eventually that the group comes back to Baldur's Gate 3, and we do, like, we try to do, like, an honor mode run or tactical run, like, really go high on the difficulty, because I feel like we got through it pretty easily. There was not too many real close calls. Like, the end...
No, I think we did pretty good, honestly, yeah.
I think the end, the last fight was actually where it got the hairiest.
There was definitely one moment where we fucked up. I'm trying to think, like... Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, it could have been in Act 1 when you stepped over the line.
No. It was the fort. Remember? When we went up to Gortash for the first time? And instead of, like, making that situation go over smoothly, we were like, tell him to go fuck himself.
You had me grabbing. Like, I felt like you... It was... No, that was the joke at the time. I was in this tense conversation, and it was like devil and angel on your shoulder, except they were both devils, and they were both like, say, go fuck yourself, Gortash. And I had Gravik be like, go fuck yourself. And the whole fight went to shit. Went to shit.
We couldn't get out. Oh, it went to absolute shit. We could not get out. We all died.
Except
I think
Felfiz
turned invisible and ran away and basically went back to camp to resurrect us. It was the only way to get out of the situation. We pissed off too many people, and we were surrounded by way too high a level enemies.
It was incredible. Awful. That was my favorite Discord moment after that night. Was the next day I typed. Yeah. I went to chat and I was like, so Gravik around the campfire was like, well, that was pretty crazy, huh?
Mike kept feeling bad. He was like, oh, man, I really fucked up. But I'm like, but we told him to tell him. We told him to say, go fuck yourself.
Dude, Gravik knew
we were all kind of half joking, like, he's not going to do it.
I'm going to do
it. That would be crazy.
I'm going to do it.
And oftentimes in this game, we've been doing the crazy fucking move, and it's been very interesting to see play out.
It was so fun to play a character that was susceptible to party influence.
Yeah. And now that we've completed Baldur's Gate 3, we've moved on to Divinity Original Sin 2.
Wow.
Already I'm back in. I've played through this game a few times. We've done it on stream with the other boys. And I'm right back in. Like, I'm actually playing an undead character for the first time. And this game plays so different. So it's actually kind of fun to watch everyone, like, get their feet back.
Yeah. Because
it is different. Very different. Like, movement and actions are all tied together.
Yeah.
And just items work entirely different. Like, the schools of magic are an entirely different thing.
I know they have their own thing. And it's just because I'm so used to the Baldur's Gate 3, like, D&D system. And I'm sure once I'm done with Divinity 2, I'll probably feel fine with, like, you know, a Divinity 3 or something if they kept all these mechanics. Mm-hmm. But, dude, Divinity 2 is brutal. It is way more unforgiving than Baldur's Gate 3. And that might be for the better, and I think that might have helped with the popularity. Because, like, man, if you don't have, like, a tolerance or a patience, this game punishes you right away.
I feel like they were still trying to learn the balancing of things, because Divinity 1 was very tough as well. There were some, like, insanely tough moments that were just sometimes puzzles that were, like, will stomp you into the dirt. And Divinity 2 was equally as difficult, and then added extra things on top of it, like the physical shields, the magic shields, the way the elements can interact together, and basically, like, the terrain of the battlefield is like 90% of the fucking gameplay. It's like, all right, how are we gonna get around this puddle of death or whatever the fuck?
It's brutal.
It can get aggravating, but it's very cool. Like, the story is very interesting, and the way that your powers and your characters develop is very interesting, because it doesn't base itself on D&D. Like, it's very much its own thing. Like, how you gain attributes and perks and feats and stuff like that. And yeah. They're just different in general.
It's I liked, like, while you, I think you might have stepped away while we were doing our character building, and I was commenting to Daniel about how crazy the feat, like, what is their feats? I think it's called tags. I'm not entirely sure.
I don't remember.
Yeah, but basically what is what would be the equivalent to the feats in D&D? Theirs are crazy. Like, yeah, lone wolf and stuff. Like, these are things are paragraphs, some of these, like, abilities that they can give you. I love that you can do, like, inter-party communication. Like, that's actually, like, voice dialogue and stuff. I thought that was really cool. Like,
cool. Your characters can talk to each other.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
And be like, hey, how do you feel about this shit that just happened in front of us? Yeah. It's very fun.
The combat feels like you have to definitely be more communicative than in Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you, like, can get punished positionally really hard in this
you
game.
You can get punished really bad. You can put other people in dangerous areas. You can accidentally hurt yourself and others easily.
So, speaking of favorite moments, session one, Mariah was off to the fences. Yeah. I mean, she knocked this one out of the park. So, Kyle plays an undead, which I think is a really cool character type because of the way the healing works, which is we cannot give him or heal him conventionally. Because it would kill him.
Because if you hit me with, like, holy magic, it'll hurt me. And if you hit me with, like, a health potion, it'll hurt me as well. I have to drink poison in order to gain health as an undead. Which I think is a really cool concept.
It is. But, like, as a party mechanic for, like, a person that it's in danger, we can't... They have to heal themselves, or we have to somehow get poison around you ourselves.
Granted, like, I mean, it usually just becomes, like, a matter of taking care of yourself, because usually everyone just has to have potions and some kind of way to heal themselves on them. Yeah. Like, I now have a barrel of poison on me at
That's
all
so
times
funny.
In case I need to drop it and, like, fill up a bunch of flask and shit like that until it runs out.
That's how you bathe when we finally hit, like, a tavern or somewhere where you can rest.
Hilarious.
So
my skeleton in this poison barrel.
So we had gotten it. So our party of four at level one or level, we're level two now, I think. Yeah, we're level two going on to level three. Four level two characters stumbled upon three very deadly tree frogs. And we just
each level three.
And we just got fucking wrecked.
I think we died like three or four times altogether.
Yeah, all together there was at least like three downs, four downs. Like, we burned all of our resurrection scrolls, found another one on an enemy, rezzed our it was brutal. We got our asses kicked.
It is the school of hard knocks at the beginning for sure.
Yeah.
Like, I know how to play the game fairly well at this point, but... And we also... Our makeup is pretty fucking wild. We didn't really discuss a whole lot at the beginning of, like, what kind of classes we're going to be. We just got, like... we're a little lopsided on what we need, I think. But
we'll figure it out as we go. Our tank is our healer. My character has range. I'm doing a bunch of range stuff, but I also have fire elements to myself. She's like doing some kind of casting, but she's a lot of fire. And then you are
undead. She went battle mage, but I'm not sure how I was going. I'm doing like a shadow blade, which is like the rogue style character, which is really fun. I've never really played one of those in most games, so it's fun to go in that direction.
Yeah.
Especially with an undead that can, because apparently the undead can, like, you never need a lock pick because you can pick locks with your bones, which
that's
is cool.
That's so cool.
There's a lot of clever little things. But yeah, Mariah was trying to throw a poison bottle at me, like you would do in Baldur's Gate, where you can throw potions at each other to like either heal or damage somebody or something like that. And so she went to use the poison bottle, and in using it, she drank it and killed herself.
Incredible.
Very curious as to what happened. We were all like, what happened? For like a little bit. Like, because she was just sitting there. Nothing going on, and then she just died.
Incredible.
And she explained it to us. I was like, oh boy, that's really good.
It was rough, dude. That game will punish
Whoopsie boopsie, drink the poison.
I love it. I'm really happy I'm doing this as a group. So, but like, I was a little bored today sitting around because I got rained out of work. And man, I was staring at that Divinity 2 icon so hard, and I was like, no, I just want to keep this first playthrough just completely co-op. Like, man, I'm excited. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to getting through this game.
Me too. It's a fun time. I'm excited for that, and like maybe by the time we get done with it, we'll hear something about a Divinity 3 or something, like whatever Larian's next thing is.
Oh, come boy. On.
Keep it going, guys.
God, I wish they were doing DLC for Baldur's Gate.
And you've been playing Hades too, right?
So I was playing a lot of Hades 1 recently and getting ready for Hades 2 early access because I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And when Hades 2 came out, picked it up, played for like, I think like 20, 30 minutes, like on a couple runs. And I was like, I really like this. But for some reason, I was like, I don't know if I just need this right now.
Like, fair enough.
Like, yeah. I still have plenty of runs and things I need to do in Hades 1. So I was like, I'm good. Like, I actually, like, no offense to Supergiant. I really shouldn't have bought it. So I asked for a refund, got a refund.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I know. I feel bad. I don't do that very often. But it was just one of those things of, like, I literally had Hades 1 next to Hades 2, and I was like, what am I doing? Like, I really genuinely do not need Hades 2 right now. It is incredible. It is much of what is great about the first. I can say plenty of great things. I've watched plenty of people stream it so far. I've seen a lot of that is a ton of early access game. Like, that is a lot of fucking game for early access. So, even $30 now, well worth your money. I don't even know when that game's officially going to come out. Probably sometime next year. It's probably when 1.0 will hit. But have you been playing it?
No. I did just recently pick it up yesterday. There's just a couple indie games that I wanted to pick up, mostly to support, because I don't know if I'll be playing Hades 2 either, but I definitely will be playing it.
And
I know that buying it now is going to be cheaper than when it comes out at 1.0. Mm-hmm. So whenever it does come out, I'll still technically have gotten it at a cheaper price. So yeah. I'm cool with making that decision. I also picked up Animal Well, which I haven't tried out yet.
Nice.
But that's a Big Modes game, Donkey's publishing company, with Billy Basso as the developer. And it looks really, really fucking cool. And, it's super fucking tiny. Like, is like download now? I'm like, yeah, sure. I just wanted to see how fast it would download.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like nothing. What is it? It's 40 megabytes of space. God. It's so small. It took like less than half a second to download. It's like, your game's ready. I'm like, what are you fucking kidding me? Like, this, it looks beautiful and wild. I'm like, how is that? They're like, yeah, you can just put this on a fucking USB and play it on your fucking, like, whatever. If it's got a screen, you can do it. It's fine. Like, Jesus Christ.
If you have a screen, you can do it. It's fine.
That's fascinating. There's actually a couple other. I can't believe all these games came out at once, because I've had like almost all of these on my wish list for so long. Cryptmaster came out, Little Kitty Big City, which honestly after watching like 2 minutes of that, I was like, that looks like shit. Honestly,
yeah.
like the cat animations are cute, and usually that's enough to get me in. Mm-hmm. Like if it's a cat game, but I was like, Stray already nailed this.
Yeah,
it was way more interesting and fun. So I'll probably skip on that one. But all these indie games are coming out. They're all bangers. I guarantee, like, these are going to be talked about around Game of the Year. Hades 2. Like, I'm curious if it's going to hit 1.0 by this year.
Because
last time it took, like, a year for them to hit 1.0, which honestly is very short considering how oftentimes early access means, like, 10 years or whatever. And a lot of people are like, this seems near feature complete. They have more content in it now than there was in the entirety of Hades 1. They said they wanted to wait to do early access when they had more than was available in the original game, which is wild to begin with.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's already a whole nother game.
People.
It's already a whole nother game that I was like, no, I gotta finish Hades 1. Like, what am I doing?
Yeah, there's so many games in my backlog. I'm like right here at the end of Armored Core 6, and I'm like, I gotta finish this shit. Oh my god. There's so many other games. I'm like, I need to finish
shit.
It so I can move the fuck on.
Did Vadi's video come out yet?
That's actually why I was thinking about it. I'm like, ah, damn it. I need to finish that last playthrough so I can watch that 5.5 hour video on that Vati video is going to drop. on all the Armored Core 6 lore. Yeah.
Oh, it's not out yet. Fuck.
Good. I have time.
Damn it. Give it to me.
I don't have time. That's the problem. I haven't had time to play games much at all, aside from playing a little bit of Divinity 2. But I still want to pick these up. Like, I don't know. Collecting games is fun. It's a good time. And there's, like, all these indies. Like, we'll get to it in the news, why I think, like, we are in the year of the indie. Like, these are the games that people are passionate about. Like, Hades 2, Supergiant. There's only 24 people in that studio, I believe.
Jeez. Like,
it's a small fucking team making a banger of a game because they are talented as fuck and know what they want to do with a video game. Like, and
these
bigger companies just don't. We'll get to it.
Yeah. Just can't fucking get their foot out of their fucking mouth.
I guess I haven't played anything else either. So, yeah, I've just been learning how to play a visual instrument, which has been fucking dumb. We got a light show. We already talked about this in the past, but we got a light show for our band, and I'm learning how to program it. Michael's learning how to program it too. Or like he made like most of the shit. I'm mostly just like putting the pieces together, and boy oh boy, is it fucking time consuming. Like by the end of it, it's like, oh wow, that looks really cool, and I'm glad I did that. But boy, is it like, hey, learn how to play this instrument and then play it perfectly. Like, let's go. Like, God damn it. All right, let's figure it out. But anyways. I don't really have anything for this, but now it's time for the news.
Oh. It may or might not
be news. Yeah. For today's news, Xbox is falling apart piece by piece.
Dear God.
It's all coming to a halt, I think. I don't really know what's going on over here at Xbox, but this past week, Xbox laid off. Well, they laid off three of their studios and absorbed one of them. Let's say we got Arkane Austin, the people that made Redfall, and we got Tango Gameworks, which is the studio that did Hi-Fi Rush, along with some other titles like Evil Within and Tokyo, not Tokyo Drift, what is it called?
Ghostwire Tokyo. Ghostwire Tokyo Drift. These demons are drifting. Oh,
there's a fucking game. Come on.
These demon cars, they're drifting and tearing up the streets. You gotta call this episode that. Ghostwire Tokyo Drift.
I guessed. Yeah.
That'll really pop off on the algorithm.
Yeah, that'll do it. But yeah, obviously people are mad, myself included, I suppose. Like, Xbox has bought, Bethesda Studios for like $8 billion, Activision Blizzard for like $69 billion, like crazy amounts of money. It's a $3 trillion company as a whole. I get that Xbox is just another branch of what Microsoft is, but I feel like Xbox has always been an important branch of it, which is people that are passionate about entertainment using Microsoft's tools. Like, it's something that's worth investing for your fans and the community in general. But of course, you know, corporate, you know, crazy amounts of money, crazy amounts of rich people that just need to have like an insane amount of money. Like, politics aside, I guess, like, I'm pretty sure these giant companies could keep these people just for their loyalty alone. Like, hey, you tried to make Redfall. You tried to make the thing that we wanted you to make, and it didn't work out, but you have job security because you work at Microsoft and you tried. You know, you shouldn't have to worry about like where your next meal is going to come from or like what you're going to do about health insurance just because a company wanted to take a risk on something that you weren't even passionate about to begin with. Like, oh, sorry, this thing didn't work out, but it's them blaming, oh, it's the worker's fault, of course. Like, it couldn't be the person who's just sitting at the top being like, we need a Borderlands, or we need an exclusive that's an always online thing. This team was working on an offline mode before the team was axed, and now, like, Xbox is going to have a game that is online until it is not. Until they're like, we're shutting down these servers because we can't afford it, or we want the money from it, or we just don't care. And now the game is gone forever. There's not going to be an offline mode. Why? Why would you do something like that? That's telling your customers that you don't give a shit. And it's telling, like, other teams in your company that, hey, you're next, buddy.
Like, yeah.
I mean, remember, I don't know if you've seen that meme of like the high, like someone like giving CPR to somebody and then pointing at somebody else in a textbook.
Yeah, yeah.
You're next.
So while Kyle brings a lot of really great emotional points to this, I have to be the devil's advocate here. Unfortunately, like, I feel like what's getting a little, it gets a little bit lost in what is the big headlines of them laying off these studios, is starting with something like Arkane Austin. So those are the people who made Dishonored, Prey, and then into Redfall. So apparently there were reports that had come out after Prey going into Redfall that most of those big heads and a lot of those big creative leads had left that studio and went on to make another studio. So by the time Redfall's out and they're trying to do something with it, that's a lot of talent that's gone and out of that studio. The next thing, the same thing is apparently true for High.
Why do those people leave?
Exactly, because of bad Microsoft decisions. Like, I'm not, yeah. I'm not discount. I'm just letting people know that like some of these decisions come at, yes, there's still a cost. A lot of people lost their jobs, and that is fucking unfortunate because most of those people were just doing what they were fucking told to do. Like,
yeah,
why? Exactly. Like, why are you laying them off? Like, they
here
didn't
save
make the
this
decision.
Save this sinking ship. It's like, why didn't you just cut your costs and be like, hey, make something else, fucking shit. We don't know.
Yeah, it, especially when you understand that if Microsoft closed the Xbox division of their company, like think about that. If Microsoft just was like, no more Xbox, that might cut into 1 trillion of the 3 trillion that they have.
Yeah,
but not
yeah,
all.
Oh yeah,
of it.
They could do it.
But they'll be
they
fine.
They definitely do it.
They're more about like Windows and AI and other things that
yeah,
like
definitely.
Xbox is a small part of this whole thing. But like, they can afford this stuff, man. Like, these people didn't ask for it, but like, you got to cut these studios because what are you trying to do now? You are trying to fight and race the clock. They need to get a Fallout game out within the next 3 to 5, which is
yeah,
too long already.
It's
already
yeah,
too,
it's too
fucking long.
Long.
Because 3 to 5 and, years, the Fallout show should be done.
But what do you think about the Tango Gameworks thing, though? Like, Hi-Fi Rush, where like, they Hi-Fi Rush was critically acclaimed. 4 million people played it, but obviously 4 million people didn't buy it because it was a fucking Game Pass game, which once again
is the whole
was
point of Game Pass.
Microsoft decision.
Yeah.
Like, and we talked about it like, hey, Game Pass is the most valuable like value in gaming right now. Yeah, for the consumer, for sure. And we all looked at each other being like, how are they affording this? Apparently, they just weren't. Like,
yeah.
They're just like, let's make this decision and it'll make everybody really happy. And then, now that we've made everybody really happy, we need to figure out a way to get money out of them again. And they don't know how, somehow, without just getting rid of Game Pass, which honestly probably needs to be the move at this
Dude,
point.
Can you imagine, like, it would be so crazy if Game Pass fails. Like, it was such the thing for so long, and now you've got, like, okay, what happens when Call of Duty comes out day one on Game Pass, and those aren't people buying $70
yeah.
versions of a game? Like,
you literally bought a cash cow and then devalued it by putting it on Game Pass. What, I can't imagine they're going to do that, unless they just, like, hike up Game Pass to be like, hey, it's expensive as fuck now. Like, you can get it on, like, super-duper premium Game Pass or whatever the fuck.
I can't imagine what they're going to do, man. Like, you can't... Yeah, and then, of course, right after they say or they close these studios, there comes out a tweet from Matt Booty. It's like, Microsoft needs games like Hi-Fi Rush. And it's like,
yeah.
Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
Yeah, we need smaller, prestigious games that wins awards. Like, you just had one.
You had one, and you closed the studio. Granted, like, your studio lead guy left, like, which wasn't very much, which wasn't really announced. Like, there wasn't really
the
a
thing
press
is,
release.
You have, like, you have Hi-Fi Rush. You have the franchise now.
Yeah.
You have the models. You have the team that's like, they know how to make this. Even if, like, people left, that game is made and that team worked together to make that fucking game.
Yeah.
They got a formula now.
Yeah.
They're on it. All you got to do is say, hey, make Hi-Fi Rush 2. Make DLC. Whatever you want to do. That fucking character is such a face that Xbox needs.
Yeah.
You know? Like, oh man, go back and watch that fucking video where it's like, remember the big teaser thing they did where like, hey, Xbox bought fucking Activision and Blizzard. And here's a big reel of all of these characters being so happy about it. And Hi-Fi Rush is on there like 4 or 5 different fucking times because it looks...
so welcoming and friendly, and it is a good game. Like, god damn it.
Yeah.
You just flushed it down the toilet.
Yeah.
Unless you get another fucking studio to do that game, and that's going to feel pretty heartless, don't you think?
It's over, man. Like, it's rough. Like, the console stuff's got to be coming to an end at this point. It's got to just become software.
I love people keep saying, like, oh, the dominoes are going to fall. They're gonna, like, one game's going to come out, and then suddenly it's going to be a crazy amount of great games. It's like, yeah, the domino fell, but it fell backwards.
Yeah.
And then just started going the wrong direction. It was like, oh, we broke this, and we canceled this. This is gone. Like,
dude,
like,
when is Senua's Sacrifice come out? When is the sequel? Like, it's in, like, a week and a half.
I really don't know. I keep wanting to look it up. Everyone's like, really soon? But I'm like, I haven't seen shit about it from anybody.
Hold on real quick. We got to figure that out. Because, dude, that is right around the corner.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard shit about it.
May 21st.
Jesus, wow. That's 11 days.
Yeah.
As of recording.
And that's going to be on... That's going to be on...
Game Pass.
Game Pass, too, right?
All right, cool. So I'm going to mosey on in, throw down a measly whatever. I'm going to play this game for the Saturday I have it, and then I'm going to be
because it's
give
short.
Me back my shit. Yeah, give me back my money. Like, why? Because I can. Because, like, I don't... Like, you spent 7 years on this, and it's 7 hours? Like, all right. I don't know,
Which
man.
There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is Xbox said that, hey, we want companies to make games like this. We want them to do something different. They bought that company because they made something different, and they were banking on, oh, they made like an award-winning game. Like, if we buy that company, they can make another award-winning game within the same universe. Let it be whatever it needs to be for that company to succeed. And then now we're in a position where, like, obviously, win or lose, that game is not going to keep, like, that studio is not going to stay together.
Yeah.
I mean, Xbox is going to be like, all right, thank you. Like, award-winning? Sure. It could come out and be like, wow, this is such a beautiful piece of art. Anyways, it didn't make us money because we put it on the free Game Pass thing, and it didn't sell anything. So,
yeah,
goodbye.
It's... what is it? A studio puts out a game and you go... All right, well, you tried. Do you want to be closed, or would you like to go work on either Elder Scrolls or Fallout? And then they make a decision, and then they go, all right, what's the next game that comes out? Oh, that wasn't a roaring success either that made us billions. All right, well, do you want to get closed down or work on Fallout or Elder Scrolls? Like, that's all they're going to work on now, dude. Like, it's Call of
Duty.
You
know what? Now that you say that, maybe they're on the right track, you know? maybe these developers are just putting out these little games to be like, maybe if we do poorly enough in sales, they'll let us work on Fallout or Elder Scrolls. Because goddamn, I want some Fallout or Elder Scrolls. I'm just kidding,
Like, if Xbox wanted to garner some good attention and good publicity, they would have to come out and announce, like, all right, we're doing another Fallout. We're not using the same old fucking engine. Like, it's Obsidian, and we're going to help them. But it's, like, by giving them just money and time, like...
If Obsidian's around, of course. We got to see how the Outer Worlds 2 is going to do. I don't know. We got to put that on Game Pass? I don't know.
Like,
that was one of the first games on Game Pass.
I know. Like, they really need to make a series of really good choices here, like... The only thing saving them right now is the Fallout show. Like, they really need to, like, this Xbox presentation that's coming up in a month or less, like...
Well, the thing about the Fallout show is I'm playing fucking Fallout over on PlayStation.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not playing Starfield unless that shit hits PlayStation for whatever reason.
Oh, man.
I think it's going to happen.
They gotta. That's just so many sales they're leaving on the table, man. Yeah.
And they need them. Obviously, they're fucking desperate for it for whatever reason. Like, we need $4 trillion, please.
Yeah, like, what is going to...
We need it.
What is going to be the new metric of success? Like, which you... I don't know. One of the higher-ups said, like, Hi-Fi Rush was a success on every metric that we measure. So it's like...
Yeah.
Well, like, what the fuck, man? Like, what does this say to other studios and producers? Like...
Yeah, there's like no incentive to stay.
Yeah.
And now anyone making a game is afraid. to continue doing whatever they're doing. Like, people over at Double Fine, what are they working on? Psychonauts 3?
No.
Because if it's not Psychonauts, if it's not Psychonauts 3, they're probably fucking gone.
Dude.
Unless it's Brutal Legend 2. Please, God, give me Brutal Legend 2.
Yeah, that Brutal Legend 2, it's time. But, like, I mean, it's not like Psychonauts 2 was a success, like a roaring success either. Like,
no, but it did get, it did get awards, and it was, like, critically acclaimed. Supposedly they want that.
That don't mean shit.
It really doesn't. I don't understand. And what did it, like, Arcane Austin did, like, Prey. They're still
Dishonored
Arcane Neon,
Prey,
which is supposedly the Dishonored company, and, like, supposedly Austin was, like, trying to pitch, like, hey, we want to do another open world, like, immersive sim, like a Dishonored. And they're like, nah, we're just going to fucking kill you.
Jesus!
And so they smothered them right then and there. It was fucking wild.
Man, they chose the bad ending.
Yeah, they did.
Fuck.
I would love another Dishonored.
I know. All this news made me want to go back and play Dishonored.
That's what I was talking about earlier. Like, getting Animal Well and Hades 2 and, like, supporting these indie companies. These are the companies that are going to make the great games in the future. Xbox is pretty much corrupted to the core in a way that's like, well, it's not corrupted, more just corporate. Like, yeah. It's a business now. Same with Sony. Like, sure, they make consoles, so, like, if you're into, like, console gaming, that's a good gateway to doing it. But trusting games like, or studios like Larian and Supermassive and all these smaller indie companies are definitely worth your support. And that's just where, like, customers need to go. Unless you're just, like, one of those gamers that's like, Call of Duty is good enough for me. And then just, I guess, subscribe to the Call of Duty train that's going to cost you hundreds of dollars a year just to keep doing that.
Yeah.
But worse each time somehow. Oh, boy. Man, watching, like, some video the other day, I want to say it might have been on, like, Gamer Ranks or something like that, which I actually really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But talking about, like, the destructibility of games. Like, remember how, like, important it was for, like, things to be where, like, oh, you could shoot this thing and it would explode into, like, a certain thing and physics would actually work.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, now games just don't fucking do that shit. Everything just needs to look really good, but, like, nothing actually really interacts with the physics of the world anymore.
Yes.
It's like, goddamn, you're right. Like, it's really ruins the immersion of, like, so many of these games. Like, they're becoming cheaper and cheaper and easier, quote-unquote, to make.
I mean, think about, like, that's what made Control so crazy and exciting and exhilarating was, like,
oh, yeah.
You'd be in these fights and, like, paper shooting off and, like, pillars falling apart.
Grab whatever, throw it.
Yeah, like, you're ripping shit out of the ground. Like, yeah. It was, you could feel this energy and this real, like, you were in it, man. Like, dude, you would get done with those fights and you would be almost, it feel like you were out of breath. Like,
it was like showing a video of, like, Far Cry 2 where you could, like, shoot, like, the different branches off of small trees and plants and shit because the physics worked so well in that game. And then the new Far Cry is, like, just nothing happens. So you, like, shoot at, like, a building and it's just like, ah, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, or, like, Red Faction Guerrilla where you could really destroy, like, an entire fucking map.
Dude, second, and, like, what? PsyOps, like, just the shit you can do in PsyOps. Like, that's a PS2 game.
Like, why can't we do shit like this anymore? Like, why not? It's aggravating. Is that it for the Xbox stuff? I mean, they've had a few things like Phil Spencer. Like, I don't even know if he said anything. I don't know if anyone said anything. Have they? Like,
yeah,
Xbox
Sarah Bond
having a response and stuff like that.
Yeah, Sarah Bond came out and basically
Sarah Bond, the lady who was like, "Oh yeah, we're doing crazy on Game Pass." When they did that big interview, was that who that was?
Yeah,
and she sucks.
Yeah,
she fucking sucks.
Yeah,
I don't like her at all. They literally just had like a, "Yeah, we're really sorry we had to let all those fucking people go in January or what the fuck ever that was." Like, we're really doing tough. And then it panned over to her and she's like, "We're making so much fucking money! Holy shit!"
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
She was literally talking about how sad it is about having to close these jobs in these studios and that these people lost these jobs, while literally right behind her is a graph of sales year over year that was there for the presentation.
Yeah, like, didn't they have good stuff? Didn't they make, like, profits? Like, wasn't it, like, up and up, like, by 10% or something like that?
Yeah, they kind of correlate with, like, layoffs and shit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, but that's crazy to announce that shit. That's a big reason why I left my last job. They did that shit all the time. They're like, "We made so much fucking money. Here's a cupcake and some pizza." I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
It, like,
Why? Like, you guys like money? Yeah, so do we. Like,
yeah, it we're is, also building an entirely different building for our fancier people that aren't you. Anyways,
yeah,
get behind that wall. Get out of my sight. You're disgusting to me.
Go make me money.
Speaking of making money, PlayStation decided to go back on their Helldivers 2 shit, which good. Like that happened immediately after we posted our last podcast.
Hilarious.
Which is funny enough. Like it took less than, well, I think it was like a little more than 48 hours actually.
It was from Friday afternoon to like Sunday or like Monday morning or something.
I don't know.
Yeah, something but like that.
People review bombed the shit out of Helldivers 2, saying that they didn't want to do the Helldivers or the
PSN
PlayStation Network account connection to your Steam account.
Yep.
And PlayStation was like, holy shit, we stepped on a landmine. Everyone hates us. We're going to back off on it. And that was literally it, which I'm glad they backed off on it. I wish they had backed off on it because it was a bad idea and not because people had to tell them to. But I do love when a fan base tells a fucking company, nuh-uh. This is our game, not yours. Like,
yeah.
You can't do this to us. Well, we are like 177 countries could not play the game because they could not create PlayStation Network accounts in them, which that hilarious is, to me because I brought this up to Mike and he was like, 177 countries? Are you fucking kidding me? There's only 195 countries in the world. And I looked it up. I was like, holy shit, he's right. There's no countries this shit's available in.
Well, so get this. It's still not available to those people in those countries because
still
yeah because holy Steam
took it off
because Steam stopped the sales and stuff, so like those people cannot play it right now.
Yeah,
like
yep,
so there's still 177 countries locked out of that game with no end in sight. And they also, because the multiplayer for Ghost of Tsushima, the Legends mode, requires you to do PSN linking.
Yeah.
That means that game, yep, for people who have pre-ordered the Ghost of Tsushima game in those 177 countries,
no,
just got told, like, hey, like...
Oh, no. Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah. So it's hilarious
that... play a single player, huh?
Yeah. No, I don't think you can buy the game at all.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah.
Man, get fucked, Sony. What the fuck, man?
Yeah, this is a... huge, like, how the fuck did you guys not know this, Sony? Like, so what weird. The fuck? Like, they really stepped on, like, dude, they stepped on, like, not only a landmine, but, like, the landmine shoved a foot in their mouth. Like, they literally...
It's so weird.
Like, it's in their TOS that you can't...
Like, hey, buy this. Also break our terms of service.
Yeah, but if you break our terms of service, we can ban you. And it's like, wait, yeah, what? Like,
this happens.
Yeah, it's so Jesus. Bad, dude. I don't know how they're going to fix this, if they're even going to. But if they want to do PlayStation on PC, they got to figure this out.
It's definitely a company. To me, this sounds like just horrible miscommunication by everyone in that company. And they're just like, hey, do this thing. What?
Yeah.
That doesn't work that way.
Well, I think Mike said it best. There's only 195 countries. Like, what are you talking about? Like, that's crazy. So that should have been someone's immediate response.
How many? Like, and also I heard they turned it around because they were losing money because of how many fucking refunds were happening on Steam rather than the review bombing, which probably true. They're like, review bombing, who gives a shit? How much money? Okay.
Yeah. And that Steam
giving
out.
Let's take a look at that one.
I think that Steam giving out the refunds too. So that's why they shut it down so fast.
It's but yeah, that's about it. It was kind of nice. Like, we played a little bit of Helldivers like the day that they had reinstated it with Corey and his friend and stuff, and
had a good time.
It felt good getting back in that game, knowing that everything's back to normal, quote unquote. And supposedly they are making a special cape with the review stuff on it, like, or at least some like artistic representation of it.
Hell yeah!
So that's hilarious. I still love. Apparently, like, one of the community managers in the Discord or whatever got fired though.
Yeah,
for encouraging the review bombing, saying that hey, this will actually give us leverage if you do review bomb the shit out of this thing. And hey, reviews are there for a reason, as far as I'm concerned. Like, if Steam didn't allow reviews, where would you see that shit?
Yeah, very good point.
If they were just like, hey, we don't do player reviews anymore, so you don't get to see that anymore, you would just never know.
it wouldn't be a place for people to be able to voice their opinions. They'd just be like, no, you just have to deal with it because fuck you. And it would just be that way. And no one would actually get to try to change things. But being that Steam allows for people to voice their opinions, like, you're not going to go on the fucking PlayStation Store and like look up reviews and shit like that people played, typed out with their touchpad.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not going to be there. Like, people don't do that. They go to Steam and they look at the reviews. That's why, like, every podcast and every news outlet is like, Steam reviews. Like, that's where it matters more than anything. If not, like, OpenCritic or some shit like that. But that's still, like, outlets. Big outlets for the most part.
Like, Sony really...
I don't know. I say voice your opinion. If you feel a way, say a way. That's what I say.
Well, speaking of which, the subreddit for Helldivers is kind of going apeshit right now because the new Warbond has a lot of people upset. There's been
apparently sucks dick.
Apparently there's been a big, like, recognition by the developers of, like, we're going to relook at balancing and, like, how we do it and, like, figure some things out.
I have been seeing that because, like, people have been comparing some guns. It's like the default assault rifle is literally better than this other fucking gun on this Warbond, and like putting them together and being like, it's the same damage output, except the new gun on the Warbond is literally worse in every way except for a little bit of a boost in recoil. And everyone's like, this is fucking shit, why would anyone use this?
Oh, and the fucking crampons that are on your boots don't stop you from sliding. Which, to be fair, nobody ever said they would. It was just an assumption made by the trailer. Like, it never...
Really?
Yeah, it never said that.
What the fuck?
I'm just letting you know, like, I watched that trailer. It just showed the boots.
Did I just get Playground rumored?
Yeah.
Like, did that just happen?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so I was like, oh, that's such a cool concept, because I heard it from, like, Corey's friend down there.
And
I'm
we all thought
that's a cool concept.
And the second he said it, I was like, that totally checks out. Like...
Yeah, wow, cool design.
Yeah, because, like...
I wouldn't question it.
Well, because, like, they're getting already... You can kind of see down the pipeline of, like... This game is gonna need loadouts eventually, where it's like, oh, I'm on Ice Planet. Sure. Let me just load out to like this outfit or Hellmire or whatever. Like, you just assume you would need that.
But I mean, I guess they just think that no, you can just like look at the stuff that you unlocked. But at some point, I mean, that's gonna be a shit ton of stuff.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of stuff.
Pumping stuff out like that.
Yeah.
Like, I need to be able to like have that stuff on a tab somewhere.
Like, dude, that game.
I agree.
It came out in February, right?
Yeah,
dude, it's only fucking May. Like, that's 4 Warbonds now.
Yeah, that's pretty cool though. Like, they definitely do need to figure out how to make that shit more fun though, or not more fun, but like balance the weapons in a way. Honestly, for me, like, I see that stuff and I get it, but for me, I pick the shit that I like and I go and I shoot stuff and I have fun. I really don't think on it that hard.
Yeah,
as long as like my guns are killing bugs, I'm fine. Like, it's just a different kind of challenge. Some days your guns work well, sometimes they don't. It's all based on the manufacturing team and like how they're functioning right now, you know. Like, sometimes they have off days and like, sorry, this set of guns sucks. It's obviously not the same gun. You're leaving like 45 fucking copies of that thing down on the planet every time you get a fucking Helldiver clone shot down there. So just get over your shit and shoot the bugs. But calm down.
This is what happens with games like this. You know, people start getting in there and comparing and contrasting. And
I don't like it like this.
Metas emerge.
Metas are silly. Yeah, it's like, fucking do something fun. Like, I have my loadout. I use a jetpack every time because it's more fun for me.
Yeah.
And I like getting places where I'm not supposed to get. And I don't see almost anyone else using that, and I guarantee it's not a part of the meta, but I'm fucking doing that shit. And
Corey goes in with a 380 every time.
Yeah, he goes in with a 380 no matter what it is.
I fucking hate it. Oh, is that just one bug nest? It's 380.
It's part of his personality now.
God. Overkill the personality.
Yeah. Checks out.
Love you, Corey.
Yeah, that's it. Right. I think that's all I have for the news. Nintendo's talking about the Switch 2. Like, they're like, yay, we're definitely going to bring it up this year, and it'll probably be out by next year. So get ready for that. I'm hoping that if it comes out, it still runs all my old Nintendo stuff, and that's my only thing. If it doesn't, I won't be buying it. That's that.
Yep. That's Nintendo.
Easy peasy.
Let's see what they get.
I don't think there's any PC. Oh, we talked about that already. And I did have a little topic, but I actually needed to post it to the community, but I forgot to do so. I just wanted to talk about good companies and like the companies that are out there still doing well, like fucking Capcom. Capcom's out there knocking it out of the park. They put it's like the like they constantly like keep breaking their records with Resident Evil, Monster Hunter, Street Fighter, and all this shit. And they just raised everybody's salary. They're like, hey, we're making a lot of money and we're paying everybody more. Like, wow, I can't believe those two things correlate. I can't believe you listen to your fans, put out banger after banger, and still experiment. Like, they put out Exo Primal, but no one really suffered from that, did they? And it's still out there. You still play the shit, at least for now, you know?
Yeah. Exo Primal.
We're putting out some new stuff, putting out, like, and everyone just likes doing it. So, like, it seems like that company's just fucking working out, and I'm happy about that. I feel like EA is flying under the radar right now, and I kind of want to keep my eye on them. Everyone needs to keep their eye on them.
Oh, dude, BioWare is on thin ice.
Wait, I did see a news article, actually. I guess we're just still in the news. That's fine. But EA had said that they were going to consider putting ads in... I guess loading screens or something.
Or just
like
in games in general. Yeah, like...
Yeah, just putting more ads in their games, which I'm not surprised. Like, EA was always, like, one of the big ones to do something like that.
I just...
That wouldn't be surprised at all.
It's like, goddamn, dude. Like, I'm paying... I'm not
I feel like PlayStation... And Xbox are taking away enough of the brunt, like, where EA is just trying to be chill. Just be like, all right, we haven't fucked up in a little while. Let's calm down.
It's just so strange, man, that they like, companies just think, like, people are going to be cool with paying $70 and still getting, like, blatant advertisement in their face. Like, for fuck's sake, dude.
Yeah, they're just trying to squeeze more money out of it, which it's interesting because, like, the value of money is going down where the cost of video games is kind of still maintained being the same, especially with, like, the indie stuff coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can get Hades 2. That's definitely the game of the year for, like, $30.
Yeah.
And all it needs to do is pay these 24 people who are competing with EA, who's a massive company with hundreds
Xbox.
Of people. And they're like, oh, we and they have a fucking Star Wars brand and shit. Like, they could do whatever, like, they want. Like, they could do it well. They have the, like, sports in a chokehold for some reason. Ugh. Which is, like, their saving grace, as far as I know. Like, we just do this for now. I don't know. Silly ass shit. I'd like to see Ubisoft go under as well. I still have a problem
God
though.
Damn!
Yves Guillemot. Like, fucking go to jail or something, dude.
Put out one of these goddamn Assassin's Creeds or get off the pot. We got like seven cooking.
We don't need it. We don't need it. We got Ghost of Tsushima 2. That's all we need.
That's all
Assassin's Creed's done. I'd like to give Assassin's Creed to somebody else. Give it to like CD Projekt Red or something. Like, do something weird with it. I don't know. Just thinking out loud.
I feel like...
Fuck it.
I feel like we're getting to the point where we should be hearing something from CD Projekt Red on something.
I agree. There is that Xbox conference next month.
Fuck, you're right.
Oh,
God damn it.
Oh, man. Summer Games is right around the corner. Oh, what's going on, Xbox? Like, what lies will you feed me today?
I did want to bring that up. Sorry, real quick. The Summer Game, like, when they have this fucking Xbox press conference, you know it's going to feel like a hostage reel. Where it's like, does everybody like that game? Does anyone get to play that game? No? Bah! All right, show them the next one. like, dude, they're going to just be axing studios right after announcements are made. Like, nope, we're not trending. Axe them. Nope, we're not trending. Axe them. Like, dude, they're about to get fucking ruthless. I swear to
God.
What
do you want?
They're going to be treating.
What do you people want?
They're going to be treating these press conferences like hostage negotiations. Like, you better fucking like the game or this will be the last time you ever see them.
It's gonna happen. Jeez. We're gonna have to stream that one.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I wonder if PlayStation or Nintendo are doing anything.
I
assume. Summer Games Fest.
Yeah,
it'll
summer.
Be something.
Exactly.
A month away? That's crazy. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
It's coming up.
Here
we'll
go.
See. We'll see Devolver again. They just always do fun shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, listen to metal and play some video games. Thanks for listening. Go to patreon.com and
and just look at it. Yes.
Yeah. Make your own Patreon. We'll come support you. Just
what?
Follow your dreams.
Wait,
you
hold on.
Yeah. All right. See you guys later. Bye. BBL driven. Yeah, man, I actually gotta say, like, your setup is really fucking cool. Like, when I walked around the corner and you hit the button and the whole table came up and the PC was, like, harnessed underneath it, I'm like, oh my god, that's so clean. Yeah. Man, I've seen it before, but I'm like, oh man, that's so cool.
Yeah, and well, now that I've gotten the...
Especially with your old man syndrome.
I know, I am very much an old man. It, dude, it was firing up today. I was playing Ghost of Tsushima and I was like, oh boy, legs getting a little stiff.
That's cool, though.
Yeah, now that I have the wireless Xbox controller and headset, it's just two less wires I was able to get off the desk, which just always adds up, man. Yeah, my dad always had, like, a really nice surround sound and, like, a nice TV. He always tried to keep up with that stuff, and I was like, man, that's just really expensive. And he's like, yeah, but then we watch movies, and I'm like, this is amazing. I can't hear anything but because it's so loud. Yeah. But, like, I get it now, dude. Like, in the last couple of years, I've really just leaned into that idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to invest in your hobbies. Like, yeah. I mean, fuck, we're all going to die one day, you know? Money's whatever. Like, just enjoy your time. Enjoy what you're doing. Like, I always, like, invest in PC gaming and music stuff more than anything for me is my big hobby. Like, having a really nice guitar, having a really nice drum kit, really nice amp, all that stuff. Like,
yeah.
I'm an audiophile, but usually when it comes to instruments rather than listening back to stuff, which isn't true. Like, I use Sennheiser headphones when I'm listening to whatever on my PC. It's just, for me, it's such a perfectly raw headset. Like, it's $100. Like, it's affordable, and it's, I feel like it's one of the most unbiased headsets out there, where I feel like so many there's, like, luxury headsets where it's like you put that thing on and it's gonna EQ the song like in a way that's gonna make every song sound, like, over the top in a way,
but
that
not everybody
sometimes
has
I just don't
headphones.
Like, and I'm like, oh boy, I don't know if I can deal with that.
You know what's funny is
I would like to have some better speakers in here, though. I need them for this place.
I just realized I have a pair of Sennheisers at your place for the podcast.
Yeah, dude, I'm sure. They're great. Great brand.
They're great. They're awesome. Yeah, man, I have these Klipsch speakers, but man, like, we got them on sale and they're made you know, for computers and stuff. You can put them up on a TV as well. But man, yeah, there's some affordable stuff out there that seems like it's way more expensive than it should be. Like, if you just pay attention to sales, too, you can catch some pretty crazy good audio and video stuff on sale all the time.
Yeah, and the thing that comes to, like, any hobby, there's definitely, like, a range of money you can spend on anything. Mm-hmm. Like, any fucking hobby you want, you're like, oh, you can spend a lot of money, trust me. Well, capitalism has figured out a way.
Yeah.
if you think that you're safe, you're not. It doesn't matter what it is.
Well, I don't like to, like, I like not, I'm a big believer in, like, having good things but not a lot of things. But, like, even
quality
though
quality over quantity.
Yeah, exactly. Even though the wall behind me can be deceptful. deceptful. Jesus, Michael.
Yeah,
keep
smoking,
keep drinking, buddy. You're doing all right. No damage there.
It's a loser wall. There's nothing there. Don't worry about it.